Hi there, you guys. Welcome to this recording. This is part one of the mental pillar, which is part of a larger training called Temple Body. Straight into the mental pillar, you guys. Deep breath. Okay, so we learn through forgetting. We learn through forgetting. The 3D plane is dense. So we've talked about this before in the physical plane and the emotional plane, the density in the 3D plane. So even those born with a very high level of consciousness, when they come into this density, they forget. Very few people remember where they've come from. We forget. That's just the nature of the learning here. We learn through forgetting. So we bring our consciousness down into the earth plane, and then we raise ourselves through it. And this is the journey of the alchemist or the spiritual worker. There's so much individuation here on earth in the human world. We all experience the same cycle. So the cycle is we're born and we're born connected. We're born through a template that corresponds with the earth. So we're born connected. And then as we grow, we start to experience the separateness of the I. And eventually that becomes so painful that we get called to relearn our original connectivity through healing that separation that we feel. So through healing that pain that we feel. You know, and one way or another, that's what's brought us all to this point. So to me, it seems the challenge of the mental body is to integrate itself into every other aspect, or to integrate itself into the whole. Now, the mental body is meant to be individual. There's a separateness that is a good... The separation that the mental body can achieve is a tool. It's its gift and its curse, if you like. So very naturally, the mind enjoys itself when it's dissecting and quantifying information. This is great when we use it for what it's meant to be used. It's a tool. But if the mind is on overdrive, it has a tendency to dissect and quantify right to the extreme. And this only serves to encourage the feelings of separation from the original wound that I was just talking about, from the original cycle. And left unchecked, this can bring about an isolation in a being and can cause real and lasting harm. So our mental body is a gift, but it can also be a curse, taking us back again and again into that wound of the separation and the I. Many traditions talk about the light of the awareness or the observer's mind. This aspect of the mind allows us to come into a healthy sense of detachment that paradoxically takes us out of feeling separate. It's such a strange idea that detachment can lead to connection. But now hear me now, you guys, in detaching and observing, we are connecting with a source of intelligence that is connected to everything else. In other words, we're connecting with a higher awareness that sits behind that which appears to be fragmented. The fragmentation is the Maya, or the illusion of earthly life and separation. So when we detach and observe the Maya, it's like we become connected again to the glue that holds everything together. And it's through this that we are aligning with the higher mind. When we identify with the fragmentation or the Maya, the separation in early earthly life, we are identifying and aligning with the lower mind. So if we allow the mind to over-identify with that which appears separate, or with the Maya, we start to feel separate again and again and again, and we start to think in terms of separation. In other words, we think from the lower mind or the lower self. So as we grow and we forget the wholeness of ourselves and the connectivity of the all, we fall into the lower mind. As we heal ourselves through the light of the awareness and through realizing the illusion of Maya, we elevate into the higher mind. So let's be clear, you guys. This sounds like a philosophical matter, but actually, in truth, it's a practical application to remember this in the everyday as much as possible. It's no good just philosophizing about this and then just going into our lives and forgetting about it. What we have to do is try to integrate this higher mind into our everyday. And coming out of separation is a mental discipline. We have to somehow come out of the old outdated thought patterns that identify with the illusion that someone or something else is to blame. The task is to remember the original wounding of separation that comes from the I or from the ego self. And the mental discipline is to surrender over the I and the ego and fall into the kind of consciousness that is prepared to look at the difficult questions like, why do I feel this way? Or what is the pattern of my thinking that I could adjust here? So to do this, we have to integrate the mind back into the self and away from the separation it feels when quantifying or analyzing the behavior of others. And this is much harder than it sounds. We need to shine our awareness into the dark corners within. And this is how the mental body works. As I'm talking about this, I can feel it kind of folds back on itself over and over again. So it's this way, but it's that way. And it's this way, but it's that way. It's individual, but it needs to be whole. It's so interesting. So we need to shine our awareness into the dark corners within. Okay, and the sun is associated with a conscious mind. It's said that the masters project their consciousness here into this density so that it doesn't drop too deep into forgetfulness. I love that. The masters project their consciousness here into this density so that it doesn't drop too deep into forgetfulness. And this is the practical purpose, if you like, of ascended masters. Not just to sit on a cloud and look holy, but actually to project the light of their consciousness here so that we don't fall too deep into the darkness of ignorance and forgetting. So ascended masters have a practical application. They're masters that live in different planes, but they're projecting their consciousness here to give us a pathway back to remembering. So they're working through their mental plane, if you like. So when you work with an ascended master, they are helping you to remember something. Their consciousness is like the sun. And we all know, however it appears, the sun is always shining. This is so symbolic to remind us that no matter how dark it seems, the light is always on. And when we think about the great spiritual masters, we're recognizing their consciousness as still here. And that is because it is still here. Okay, so many legends and stories talk about the second coming of the king, or talk about things like the sleeping kings. And I feel this not so much as the king returning here, but as the time when we have evolved to the degree where we can up-level our consciousness in resonance with the frequency of those masters. So lovely, stay with me. The legends of the sleeping kings represent a dormant consciousness that is waiting to be accessed, or representative of humanity moving out of the separation of the lower mind and into a higher and integrated consciousness. So those masters are holding a stream of their consciousness here so that we can up-level into it, if you like. So, yeah, it's like the masters are holding a space for us. They're not just, I mean, sometimes I feel like the spiritual industry can take ideas like the Ascended Masters and turn them into this kind of really kind of, almost makes me feel a bit sick, this kind of it's a debasing of what it actually is. You know, this kind of sickly, I'm on a cloud with a rose looking, you know, with the light of the sun on my face. It's kind of meaningless. A lot of the stuff that I've sort of seen about Ascended Masters, but I'm ranting a little bit there. Because what they're actually doing, you know, this to me, it's very practical. The masters are holding a space for us. They hold a certain frequency and encourage us to meet that. So with this training, when I felt Serapis Bay, he's holding a certain frequency for all of us to access, not just me. And I slipped into that, clicked into that frequency, and for a time just met that frequency, and all of this information comes flooding in. You know, and it's like, I suspect that, you know, when we get to that point where we can meet those masters and stay there, I mean, for me, it's such an in and out process. It's just flickers, really. But when we get to that point where we can keep our consciousness there and hold our energy there, you know, this is where I feel that we'll become masters in our own right. So, lovelies, this ascended consciousness is held through the sun and through the mind. So the sun represents the conscious mind, and interestingly, the moon represents the un or subconscious mind. All our hidden karma that is accessed through the emotional body and all the surprises that it gives to us is part of the subconscious mind. So mind and emotion work together, as I said before, in the emotional pillar. They work together, as do the sun and the moon. So it's important, really, to mention this, as the mind must lie down to the emotions and vice versa in order to find balance in the temple. And I see this, you know, like, how do I verbalize this? When the mind, I spoke about this in the emotional pillar, when there's oversaturation of emotion and the mind isn't holding the emotions, we become kind of mental. So the emotional body can really push us to kind of lose the plot and lose the mind. And by the same token, the mental body can really push us to become, you know, oversaturated with mental energy, and there's no feeling in there. There's no emotion in there. So we lose ourselves in the mental body. So it's really important that we look at the sun and the moon as working together, and the mind and the emotions is working together too. So for this pillar, I'd like you to recognize that we are working with the sun, or the illumined consciousness. But you guys, it's equally important to work with the moon, or the hidden consciousness. We work with the moon through the intelligence of the emotional pillar. Okay, and the mental pillar can often get a really tough review in sort of spirituality and lots of spiritual teachings. So much emphasis can be placed upon the heart, you see. But the mental body is not bad. It doesn't disconnect us from the heart, although it can certainly overpower the heart, because the sun is much larger than the moon, you see. So it's like, I think you'll see that anyway. So the mind is really like a fire that it asks to be tamed, really. It needs to be refined in such a way that it becomes simultaneously laser sharp, yet spacious. So we work with the sun and the moon to achieve this. We work with the mind and the emotions together to achieve this. But humanity right now, as a generalization, tends to live in the mind. There's a dominance of that sun energy. There's a dominance of that male energy, the patriarchal energy, which is coming back into balance now. But at the moment, the mental pillar for a lot of us is engorged and massive. And we're kind of using it in all the wrong ways, mostly. It's like the things our minds give attention to and the way in which we do this often just perpetuates the density of the 3D plane. So it's like, in a way, the mental body has become somewhat overstimulated by the 3D plane. And we've become kind of incapable in our mental pillar, a lot of us, of generating a higher mental momentum. The overstimulation and the density of the 3D plane has led to an underfunctioning of the mental pillar. So mentally, a lot of us are like lazy teenagers. We can't seem to generate enough momentum to sort of get out of bed or even get washed or get clean. So yeah, it's interesting to me at the time of writing this. So this is 2021 that I'm writing this. That from a transference healing perspective, humanity is in a massive purification. Alexis said a long time ago that health is the final frontier, and that will trigger the big purification for humanity. And this has certainly been triggered by the coronavirus. Now, I find the languaging really interesting, how this is called a coronavirus, because like I said, we've been talking about the sun today, and in astrological terms, the corona is the outer atmosphere of the sun. Or in the context of this course, the corona would be the surface layer of the conscious mind. And through this virus, we've all been pushed to face personal reactivity and fear and asked to look a little bit deeper into things. And the hidden things inside of us, the hidden distortions, if you like, are rising to the surface for all of us. We can't escape ourselves at the moment. And the heat that is generated through this has the capacity to make or break us. It's like a make or break time at the moment for us spiritually. So my hope is that through this experience, we will all start to break apart and burn up what no longer serves the highest good, or what no longer serves the life or sun force of our world, and become more conscious about ourselves. You know, and more the see our own corona, if you like, and through this initiate greater levels of connectivity to each other. So from a spiritual perspective, and you know, I want to make it clear that I'm talking about this from my own, it's a unique spiritual perspective, not a medical one or anything like that. But from a spiritual perspective, I wonder if this coronavirus is about helping humanity to see the unhelpful mental patterning it holds and to release it so we can eventually move away from the dominance of the fear-based lower mind and into a more balanced, integrated, higher awareness. So, you know, you might be listening to this going, I can't really see that happening at the moment, Julie. But, you know, I'm talking big picture here, you guys. This may take a few lifetimes, but I'm really hopeful that COVID is like a catalyst, really, for something that is ultimately going to be brighter and more life-affirming. The challenge that we all face all of the time, not only during like pandemic situations, is to raise ourselves moment by moment into our highest thought, word, and deed. But let's face it, you guys, it's way easier to drop into the lower patterns of blame and shame, because because that's lower, it doesn't require any energy to get us there. So we just sort of drop into it. There's also a tangible force or an energetic stream on the earth plane right now that is working to keep us down or on a descending pathway. Whilst at the same time, there is another force or energetic stream that is working to raise us up in line with the new earth. And this is why it's important to learn about and discern between higher and lower energies. But we drop into patterns of blame and shame because it doesn't take any energy to get there. You know, it's lazy, really. That's where we're mentally like teenagers. And with regard to the mental pillar, one of the things that I've really, really observed through this that's really worried me is through COVID is how easy it can be to get stuck in these lazy ways of thinking. Or I'm seeing this as like groupthink at the moment. You know, we're thinking in terms of the group, the collective mind. I think it's very wise to be super, super cautious about group thinking. And I was feeling into this earlier and channeling this just before. I mean, channeled this a long time ago and I just had a quick reread through. And this came in just today, really, actually, about this group thinking. And I was thinking into it and feeling it in my heart that it's not a great thing for humanity, because the mental pillar is individuated. It's individual by nature, but it wants to integrate into the whole. But we can't miss the individual aspect of the mental pillar. We can't bypass that and just come into, you know, oh, I'm just going to think like everybody else, because we're that's going to create a distortion that's taking us away from our truth. So yeah, group thinking. I've never really heard that term before so much. So I Googled it really quick because I was getting this very strong message about groupthink and the magic of Google. It's kind of like technologically challenging, I guess, but channeling. But the magic of Google came up with this. Groupthink can cause blindness to potentially negative outcomes, failure to listen to people with dissenting opinions, and a lack of creativity. Groupthinking creates a tendency to conform, for the individual to conform to the group and avoid raising potentially unpopular ideas. Groupthink can reduce knowledge, can reduce sharing, and can reduce creativity, thereby diminishing some of the key benefits of decision making. Groupthink can lead to a lower quality of work due to the task being rushed. There's usually less time to improve the task and make it better. Groupthink can lead to wrong decisions. During groupthink, people will scramble to please everyone else. And groupthink can ruin your relationships in the long run. I wanted to give a balanced picture of groupthink as well, so I did Google the positives of this way of thinking. Cooperation is improved, harmony exists, there will be less stress, and things get finished more quickly. But I think, you know, for me, the negatives outweigh the positives, especially in terms of the mental pillar, in terms of this training. The mental pillar wants to think independently. We are meant to think independently. And we are meant to bring that independence to the group, to enhance the group. We bring our own uniqueness to the group to enhance and help the group. Now, if we all forget our individuality and we just think as a group, it can lead to so much suppression, so much mental suppression. And I've really felt the hold of so much group thinking, you know, and the hold this has had over us energetically for the last 18 months. I think for me, this has been the most difficult thing about COVID, is feeling that distortion of, you know, yeah, we are all connected. Yeah, we are all, we all must look after each other. But we can't do that if we just lay ourselves down to the group. And that creates so much confusion. It creates a lot of fear, and a lot of suppression. So let's be clear, you guys. It takes a lot of energy to rise ourselves out of this and think independently. And this is more energy than most people can muster at the moment. And it's not because people are bad or lazy or wrong or whatever, and they're not sheep, they're not all these horrible things that people say about each other. It's just that it takes a lot of energy to think independently. And, you know, and gosh, am I seeing that? With regard to the mental pillar of humanity over the last sort of 18 months, I've been really flabbergasted at the amount of people who just choose a side and won't listen to the other. It's like there's a lack of communication around COVID that shows me how much we need to feel connected to our own version of the truth, even if that creates a massive division outside of us. And of course, lovelies, this happens because we can't face our own inner divisions, our own personal feelings of uncertainty, or our own mental pillar is being very lazy, so we take refuge in a mindset like a teenager, or we take refuge in a group because let's face it, we all want to feel safe. And that's where this comes from. Oh, and you know, a friend of mine, there's no judgment in this. I don't want, you know, yeah, a friend of mine articulated this so beautifully. You know, she said to me, you know, oh my God, and I really related to her with this conversation that I feel like I haven't had a conversation like this with anyone. But she said, you know, I feel like I have to stand alone, even though I'm not so sure what it is that I stand for. I'll repeat that because it's important. I feel that I have to stand alone, even though I'm not so sure what it is that I stand for. There is a spiritual courage in this, you guys. I just want you to feel that. You know, and there is a doorway to compassion in this, to stand up for not really knowing. There is a truth in this, and that is powerful and healing. And like I said to her, you know, it's so easy and so tempting to pick a side, because when we do that, there is the weight of other people and other opinions behind us that helps us to feel secure in something. But this person was standing alone, feeling so insecure, but still standing alone. And to me, that's spiritual courage. That's mental strength. And I just want you to feel that vibration. It's not that we're asking each other to know anything or to give us an answer. It's just sometimes to say we don't know actually gives us all permission to look deeper and to expand that mental pillar and take ourselves out of this contraction and this pressure, you know, pressure cooker that we've all been in. And I'm speaking to this not to pass any sort of comment about COVID itself, but just to look at the mechanism of the mental pillar, or, you know, rather how mental we can be when we're in fear. You know, it's really well known that we can't make good decisions when we're in fear. And groups of similar minds can feed off of each other's mental distortions. The mind is meant to be independent, lovelies. And to a degree, this is why groupthink can become so dangerous. There's one sun, one conscious mind at any one time. All you just imagine this in terms of like the symbology of this, all of our minds coming together, too many suns coming together, they can really burn, you know, they can really burn us. You know, I talk about this a lot in the other training that I do, the Tempering the Dragon training, and need to know, and how this blocks us off from one another and from our own growth. This is the mental pillar in domination. You know, it's right and everyone else must submit to that. You know, you're with me or against me kind of mentality. Ultimately, this is a fear-based pattern and not a connected one. Because it's the lower mind that functions when we're in fear. It blocks us from the understanding that we can always move onwards and upwards. There is nothing we can't heal. So if anyone's talking to you saying, we can't heal this, we can't make it better, they're in the lower mind, you guys. They're not connected to the all. They're not in their highest possible thought, word, action, or deed. You know, the lower mind blocks us from the understanding that we can always move onwards and upwards. There is nothing we cannot heal. But we have to learn to overcome our fear-based thinking on so many levels and recognize when we're in those lower states of mind so we can elevate out of them. And then we can heal. So the mental pillar, at its best, is active when it can perpetuate and create upward moving energy towards the higher planes. You know, on towards the sun, on towards the light and the life. It functions at its best when sharing its individual precision, laser sharp, through the collective. So all knowledge, all perspectives, all insights are retained and none are lost. And that's how a collective consciousness is supposed to run. This is how the masters use their mental plane, you guys. They allow their consciousness to become a bridge. Their individual consciousness streaming in to become a bridge, a way over the density, a way out of the density, a pathway out. And it's like this is what we all have to learn to do. And we offer each other pathways out then. We don't keep ourselves stuck in the pressure cooker of a group or a group mindset. So in many fairy tales and mythologies, we hear about the hero that sleeps, that is bound to return. So obvious examples of this are like Snow White, you know, Cinderella, King Arthur. You know, we can also apply this to the story of Jesus. You know, the story within the story here is telling us that our higher self is sleeping somewhere, waiting for us to wake it back up. There's a second coming of our higher mind, if you like. And this higher mind or consciousness is there. It's up there somewhere. It's accessible to us if we know how to generate enough energy, rise ourselves up out of our lower self, find it and awaken it. Okay, and this is where detachment comes in. We can never hope to access our higher mind while we're too bogged down in the density or the illusions of 3D reality, or we're stuck in those unhelpful patterns of group thinking. But what I don't want to do here is say, well, it's okay for us all to go off individually and find our own way up. I mean, that's sort of true, but it's also true that we have a responsibility to each other to help each other out of that group thinking and run our own consciousness into that, to offer a pathway to others to get out. So, my gorgeous ones, if there is like a conspiracy around COVID, to me, it is that we all participate in perpetuating illusion through unhealthy identification with polarity or with extremes. And, you know, and through blame and shame. It's never helpful. That's a function of the lower mind, is to dwell in blame and shame. We all, through our thinking, have the potential to keep each other stuck in lower states of mind or put one another down, you know, and hurt each other through that. You know, our mental pillar is powerful and it can be cruel. So, there's a lot here. Humanity in general tends to wait. Not all of us, but a lot of us tend to wait for someone else to make it better or wait for someone else to give us a solution instead of creating our own energy to raise ourselves up. Creating that energy to move into our highest possible mind, our highest possible self, our highest possible thought. So humanity has a massive savior complex. Who will save us? You know, which club should I join? Which leader should I follow? You know, I'm waiting for this to improve itself. You know, that kind of mentality shows that we're waiting for something. We're waiting for something to get better. We're waiting for something better to come to us and save us. When what we're really waiting for is ourselves. From the spiritual perspective, this is what we're really waiting for. Ourselves, or more precisely, the light of our higher self coming into our consciousness, you know, or the rising of our higher self as we start to see the outer edges of our higher self, like the corona or the sun. So yeah, it's pretty mental how like, you know, the inner and the outer correspond with one another. Like I said, our sleep state, I'm just going to check the time. Yeah, we're good. Our sleep state and our subconscious mind is represented by the moon. Our conscious mind and the awakening of the higher mind is represented by the sun. The sun and the moon, the yin and the yang, the male and the female, the light and the dark forces unite to bring us balance. Okay, and I'm taking a deep breath here because I'm really feeling this. Ugh, it's a big one. To bring balance to our mental plane is humanity's greatest challenge at this time. I'll say that again. Whew, feeling that running through me. To bring balance to our mental plane is humanity's greatest challenge at this time. It's like we have to sedate the overactive forces of the lower mind that keep us locked into these thought spirals that are generating this fear and confusion. Ironically, this overactive force of the lower mind means we can't actually think straight. So somehow we have to click ourselves out of that. And it's like we have to click ourselves out of that while simultaneously kick-starting the consciousness of our higher mind, raising the energy to our highest mind, our highest thought, word, action, and deed. And that works for unity and clarity on all the other pillars. Stay with me, you guys. As the light of your higher consciousness switches on, we awaken our higher mind, or to our heart center, also to our emotional body, to our spiritual self, and to our physical body, and our DNA wakes up through these pillars. So, you know, it's like the biggest obstacle is ourselves, and more specifically, the lower mind. We have to, as part of our awakening process, we have to learn to quiet and detach from our lower mind and get out of the fear, the blame and the shame. It's like the lower mind prevents us from awakening, but once it's stilled and disciplined enough, all of the other pillars can begin to light up. Oh, and it's difficult, you guys, because there's the corruption within most of us. This is the dominance of the lower mental plane. It overwhelms the other bodies. And I really feel this. I felt this. Some people that I will come into contact with, I just can feel their mind. I can't feel anything else. It's like their mind is just so huge. They're so wrapped up and so corrupted through the mental plane and in so much pain through the mental plane. It's affecting everything else in their being. And they're walking around like massive heads. And this is what I say about the, you know, earlier on I talked about, you know, our evolution, if we're not careful, if we move too far away from the heart and too far towards the lower mental plane, takes us into this massive head consciousness that is kind of like the greys, the alien beings. We're walking around on this earth right now like alien beings because we've lost, you know, we're getting too over-identified with the lower mind and losing the connection to the heart, which means we're losing our connection to the earth. Which means we're becoming like, you know, aliens walking around here quite literally. And it's the desperate need, it's the fear of being wrong and the desperate need to be right, stops stops us from evolving. It keeps that fear keeps us locked into the lower mind. And we're so scared of being wrong that we can't evolve. You see, it's ironic really, because the only way to evolve is by making mistakes, because it's through our mistakes that we learn the most. I really feel this in terms of like mental perfection. I never feel so blocked as to when I'm trying to be mentally perfect. The attainment of perfection is meant, you know, the desire to attain perfection in this training, for example. I channeled this in, you know, a matter of days, and I've held on to it for months, thinking I just need to tweak it. I just need to tweak this. I just need to change it. Something's wrong with it. The desire to perfect this training has meant it's taken me way too long, much longer than it should have done, to get this training out. The desire for perfection has blocked my flow. You know, and I've had to discipline my lower mind and remember the perfection of the whole of existence, without my interference, exists. And this gives me the compassion to open up to channel this training and open up to deliver this training. You know, I love this mantra, you guys. I use it a lot. I'm not perfect. They are not perfect. Yet everything is perfect. And so it is. This allows us to be human. Drops us into our humanity. And, you know, this ironically stops us from becoming these alien beings. It drops us into our humanity compassionately, through which we can access our higher mind and the perfection of the whole. So releasing the pursuit of personal perfection is like turning a key into a locked doorway. It frees us up. I'll just speak to procrastination, because that's what I've been doing for quite a few months over this training. Procrastination always shows me that I'm blocked on my mental plane. And I've procrastinated so much about releasing this because of my ego. My ego's kept me in doubt, doubting my work, doubting my ability to channel, doubting my right to bring this through, doubting whether it will reach anyone or anyone will get anything from it anyway. And my ego is a part of my lower mind, my lower mental plane. So my lower mental plane has kept me stuck, has kept me tied in. And this is part of my karma to release this. And this feeds into the emotional body, it feeds into the physical body, and there's no separation. What I want to tell you guys is, I didn't have any of these doubts when I was channeling this training. It was coming through and I was exhilarated, I was excited, I was full of light. Because, you know, when I'm channeling, I'm in my higher mind. So there's no doubt. And I've had experiences of this when I'm channeling, when I'm doing healings, I'm channeling, and then I drop into my lower mind. It's like, it's so profound, it's so strong, it's such a difference. When my higher mind doesn't do that thing, it doesn't loop around on itself telling me that, you know, oh, it might be wrong, or it might be better if I did this, or it might be this, or it might be that. My higher mind just says, Julie, it is what it is. Now let it go. The higher mind, you see, lovelies, creates. The higher mind creates and then surrenders the creation. Because it's fearless. There's no fear in the higher mind. The lower mind contracts and holds on because generally it's scared. So even in myself, I can see this process of having to kind of move out of the dominance of the lower mind and into my higher mind just to get this training out there. You know, I'm not... Okay. There's such a lot here. I don't know whether to carry on or... Yeah, let's carry on. Okay, let's carry on. So I'm not saying we shouldn't have high ideals or high aspirations, but we have to give our physical material selves some room for imperfection. I'll just repeat that because it does make me laugh. We have to give our physical material human selves some room for imperfection. The lower mind really struggles with this out of fear of being different or imperfect, or fear of failure. You know, fear of being seen is wrong. Oh my God. You know, they've seen me with my trousers down and my bottom out, as my teacher would say. But, you know, we've got to keep it real. We've all got a bottom. And our trousers always, you know, do come down from time to time, and that's okay. So we have to overcome the fear of separation in that small self, or that wounding in the self, for integration with something bigger. And that's the higher mind. Okay, so I think of the mind, and I think of the legend of King Arthur or the Sleeping King. A true king, you guys, just hear me now. A true king, the higher mind, a true king lives to serve. The kingly pillars that we're talking about in this training, the physical, mental, emotional and spiritual pillars of your temple, of you, create this temple. So each one bears its own fair share of weight, and the weight should be equal, you know, and equal in power. When we think of our temple body, when we think of those four pillars, the mental pillar for most of us is ruling and not serving right now. This is so important. The mental pillar is ruling and not serving right now. And its rule is not a just one. This is the corruption of the king or the mind. The thoughts that do not serve our or anyone else's highest good are rife, and the preoccupation with our inexperienced opinion must be overthrown. The preoccupation with perfection must be overthrown. Humanity has an enormous mental plane, a lower mental plane, and it's throwing us all off kilter. Let's just repeat that again. Humanity has an enormous lower mental plane, and it's throwing us all off kilter at the moment. The mental plane has gotten so big, you see. We've placed so much, far too much emphasis on it. There's far too much weight upon this pillar, and it can lead to a temple collapse that starts squarely in the mind. And I'm seeing this, you guys, most people walking around with an oversized mental body. I feel this, especially in crowds of people, groups of people together, opinion, groupthink. It's not well, it's not healthy, it's not good. Mental illness is rife, even in those who think they are healthy. Let's stop and speak to the reality of our opinion. To be blunt, you guys, and I speak to myself here too, until we've experienced a thing, we know nothing to little about it. And that's a fact. The experiencer carries a vibration. They hold the wisdom. There's an intelligence there that comes with experience. This wisdom can often expose opinion for just downright ignorance or stupidity. So again, I will say, and I'm like a broken record with this, be very careful with your opinions. Throw water on them. They're a fire that can burn everyone and everything. Instead, focus on your experience. Bring the awareness in. Be an experiencer, you guys, not a repeater. Be an experiencer, not a repeater. And work, bring your experience into your mental body, not the repetition of another person's opinion. Spinning us around, looping us back on ourselves, making us feel so disorientated and chaotic. Bring the light of your wisdom, your experience into your mental body. Our opinions are only valid if they're sourced from direct experience. And even then, they are only truly, wholly aligned with the truth of ourselves. We should never presume that they are the truth for another being. Experiential opinion is the truth of the self and can only ever be helpful to another. It can't be their truth. And this is where it's like we're running that light of our higher mental body through the group. The higher mental body is like the experience, the things that we know from experience through the group, but not overwhelming or dominating another person in the group by assuming that's their truth too. Just adding it to the collective so that it might be of use. adding it as a stream for someone else to follow out if they want to follow out of the density and the confusion. What's happened to humanity, lovely, is a tendency to form opinions first, and this clouds experience. How many times have we said it shouldn't be like this, or it's not supposed to be this way? And when we catch ourselves doing this, we know we have we've put the opinion before the experience. It is what it is. That's the higher mental plane speaking. It is what it is. Let it go. A wise man once said to me, "Julie, when you argue with reality, you are only going to lose. You are only going to lose 100% of the time." My mental body was so huge, I was arguing with everything, you see. I was exhausted and fighting a losing battle. I'm so grateful for that, to that man, for saying that to me. When you argue with reality, you're only going to lose 100% of the time. I was arguing with everything outside of me, and I wasn't winning. when I'm working on everything inside of me, that's where the alignment of the inner and the outer come. So only when we form our opinions around our direct experience, not through reading something, you know, it drives me mad, you know, when we read something, we sort of shove that on someone else as our opinion. Our direct experience and tuning into our heart and tuning into our direct truth, our resonance, what is resonant for me? You know, and only when we do this are our opinions worth hearing. Anything else is just repeating. You know, even though we might feel resonance with it, are we sure that it's truth? That's where it gets really like, again, it's not an exact science. It's an art form working with the self, working with the mental body as well. Because, you know, when we're trying to impose ourselves on someone else, we're imposing our own truth, and it might not be theirs. And we've got to be so careful with that. Know thyself, know thy own mind, know thy own truth. So think about this. When you're met with another's inflated opinions, you're experiencing directly their lower mind usually. And this can feel so big. This is the alien being. This is the grey. It's so hard to stand up to. It's exhausting, really. Quite often, the lower mind is trying to solve a thing from a bad foundation, and so it perpetuates rather than creates. And, you know, this is what, you know, I've been channeling so much of, is like, be aware. Don't create something. Don't perpetuate. Create. That's the nature of the higher mind. Create it, let it go. Don't keep perpetuating the same thing, staying stuck in the same energy. I had a real fishbowl experience. I'll just finish with this and then we'll sign off, you guys, because it's a bit of a long one. But I had a real fishbowl experience. I was on the inside of an experience. I was having an experience. It was very personal to me. And I was learning a lot through this experience. And I hadn't... What happened to me was I was learning so much through this direct experience that I was having that was actually quite painful. And I was feeling, while I was having this experience, that other people's opinions were isolating me. It was making me feel so angry because these people happened to be healers. And they all wounded me with their need to express their viewpoint. And I could feel it as a vibration that they, you know, that they were telling me a viewpoint about something they did not know. They didn't know it. They hadn't felt it. They hadn't been through the experience. I was in the experience, so I could feel a vibration of opinion as opposed to knowing. And what they did was they did the opposite of healing. It was the opposite of healing that they gave me. Because they said it was separate. It separated them from me. Because I could feel the vibration was so dissonant. So to give someone a viewpoint about a thing that you do not know has the opposite effect of healing. Really, you know, I'm not saying that I'd expect everyone to know what I was experiencing, but to admit that they didn't know, admit the inexperience and ask the experiencer to share would have been to come in and meet me in my place of isolation. Sometimes healing is not knowing. It's being ready to meet a thing in innocence and learn about it with another. It's being able to stand with that other the person who's experiencing and just hold their hand and saying, I'm with you, even though I don't know what it is you're going through. This is what this is, spiritual courage. This is what my friend showed me when she said, I'm standing for something, I'm standing all alone and I don't know what I stand for. And it's the same thing with opinions, and how when we release the opinion, we say, I actually don't know, but I'm here. That is connecting. That brings connectivity. You're not isolating someone else with your opinion. And that's important, you guys. It's like if you go into an experience in innocence and you're just ready to meet a thing in innocence and learn about it, and go into it with another person, you walk that path with them for a while. To be healed isn't always to be taught. It isn't always to be told. Sometimes healing comes through just not being alone. So sometimes our opinions can really divide us from someone who's in pain. Sometimes the healing comes when we just meet them there and we say, tell me about this. What is it? I don't understand, but I want to. I want to be with you. I don't want you to be alone. You see, the separation creates a deeper wounding. Opinion can sometimes rub salt into a wound because it makes that wounded person feel separate, even when it comes from the best intention. Opinions can take us on a different road to experience. You know, it can be a completely different thing when you're dealing with someone's experience or someone's opinions. To assist a person's healing process, we have to walk with them on their particular road for a time, so they no longer feel that they're walking alone. So to stand with someone, knowing you don't know their experience, but to do it anyway, is spiritual love. It's the highest mind. It is beyond mind, you see. You know, you're standing in the presence of a wholeness that you share. You're standing in the glue that is beyond the pain. This is connection. This is healing. This is where the masters dwell. This is why they're running their consciousness into our earth plane at the moment. To help us see, you know, the mind in that higher and lower sense, and where we hurt with the mind, where the mind can be painful and be in pain and feel isolated, and how we can further isolate that person through the sharing of our opinion rather than the sharing of ourselves. So we're remembering that the challenge of the mental body is to move away from overanalysis and into integration and unification. But the paradoxical thing about that is we all are separate. The mental body, it shows us our uniqueness, our separation, and there's nothing, we can still be unified within that diversity, within that separation. So the challenge of the mental body is to embrace its own individuality, but to bring that into a unified state. To create something that takes us into the higher mind, and then to let it go. Let it go. Surrender it. Okay, lovely. So I'm going to leave you with that. That was a long, long recording. I knew that would be quite a challenge, but very interesting. And bless Serpas Bay for taking me through that. Go have a cup of tea, have a little rest, and I shall see you in part two. All my love, lovelies. Bye-bye.